What goes on behind the scenes in Pacific politics and how does it affect us? Polytalk is back to unpack the big questions like, why is it hard to get medicine you need in the Pacific?
It came to a point where he was admitted where he got blood poisoning. He needed antibiotics for that, and that was not available.
Join me, Scott Whitehair, on Polytalk.
Search up Polytalk in your favorite podcast app to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Stories from the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello and welcome to Stories from the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'm Bobby McCumber. To understand Yvonne Weather's journey is to understand the weaving of her other all mat. Each strand a story, each imperfection part of its strength. Her life has been one of preparation, patience and partnership. From a winding educational path with setbacks to finding identity through motherhood, faith and community. Today she leads conservation projects with the Nature Conservancy. She inspires young people through her church and tends to her own farm she hopes to one day make her full-time calling. Yvonne, welcome to Stories from the Pacific.
Ali and Malungin Tutao.
Describe for us what your farm looks and feels like today.
Oh, my farm is... It looks heavenly, and when I go into my farm, I feel so stress-free, relaxed. I feel like I'm one with the environment, and I just enjoy the time that I have, especially the quiet space that it gives me every single time I'm there. I have taro, tapiocas, I have sugar canes, I have chilies here and there. It's on a slope, and so... there's a viewpoint from the top of the farm where you can see kind of the mountain, we call it mountain here in Palau, because it's pretty tall compared to the rest of the islands. That is across from my farm. That's a beautiful scenery that you can see the green and lush environment around, our community that we live in Ngaram Lamoy. And so it's just, breathtaking and beautiful, yeah.
What do you find when your hands are in the soil?
I think it's, for me, it's, I find a lot of peace. And then just the soil itself just gives that comfort, the smell of the grass, the smell of the soil. I don't know, it just has a soothing thing to it that helps you kind of relax and feel kind of at peace with the day.
Why do you think this farm brings you so much joy? Is it anything that you can compare it with for other people that brings them joy?
Wow, I think for me, I have a tendency to escape to my own space and my own environment. And so the farm to me is a space where I can freely create. And when I create, I see it grow and flourish. And with the support of my family, my kids and my farmers, it just kind of, gives me, you know, a sense that, you know, I'm doing something for myself and for my family.
How big is your farm?
It's a little less of a 2000 square meters. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a small compared to most of the farms around me, but it's a good enough space that keeps me busy.
How has farming changed the way that you see your role in your family and community?
I think it's just, it has really strengthened the role of me as a mother and a provider for the family in terms of the nourishment, and it has sort of given me a sense of, you know, ownership to being able to really grow the food and produce the food and share it with my family, my immediate family and friends.
I'll touch on your family in a little bit more, but do you think of farming as a way of returning to something that perhaps you'd been missing?
Oh, yes. I was growing up, my mom Used to have a little farm in Airai that I remember when we were younger. We would be supposed to be helping her around the farms, but a lot of the times we would be playing. And I didn't know it was something that sort of, you know, something that I wanted to do. I always aspired to do, you know, be in the office and stuff like that, because it's just, you know, how you see on television and stuff like that, you get that influence. But when we made the decision to move to the community that we live in, it just became a sort of a natural calling. And then during COVID, when really didn't have work and we had to kind of work from home, it's a small project of a small garden in front of the house that just kind of sparked that interest in seeing the plant grow, and eventually provided for us during that time, kind of brought me back to childhood and how that felt when I was younger. And so it's consistently now I'm kind of looking for that, you know, feeling and going back to that sort of in space. Yeah.
Tell us about your family story and how this has shaped your place in Palau.
I was born and raised here in Palau. My father, he's half Palauan, half Japanese. He has a very interesting story. Well, his family has a very interesting story. His father was a surveyor back in the day during the Japanese time, and he came to survey the lands in Babeldaob. And I don't really know the full story of how he met my grandma, but they ended up marrying my grandmother, and they had, I think, 8 kids. And my mother, too, had a big family. She had, I think, also 7 or 8 siblings, full Palauan. But my mom, I think they have some sort of a mixed blood of German blood somewhere in there. I hear stories about them having German names, their descendants. So there's quite a mix blood in the family. But growing up, my father, when they were raised after the war, they had to not adopted, but be living with other families. They had to split the family when after the war, their father had to go back to Japan. And so the mother couldn't raise all those kids by herself. So a lot of the family took in a lot of the kids and raised them. So they kind of grew apart over time. And so growing up, my father was always kind of into this. We need to be surrounding ourselves with family. And because his family were largely living abroad, we always go to my mom's side of the family. And so during the weekends, we would be visiting a brother or a sister, staying the weekend in the communities that they lived in. And so growing up, I always had people around me, cousins, nephews, nieces. And so I was kind of used to the big family. And then after high school, I decided to pursue my education outside and came back with intention of going back to school, and ended up meeting my now husband, which resulted in 2 amazing kids. And so now we have 2 teens. They're both graduating from high school and elementary school this year. So it's a big year for all of us. But yeah, it's a small family, and we live in a small community up on the west coast of Babeldaob, where my work kind of is in the same community that I live in. So it's been great. Raising my kids in this community for the past 5 years have been the best decision.
Mm. How did becoming a wife and mother shift your understanding of who you are?
Oh, wow. That's another episode that we can get into. But, you know, I didn't know that the person I am, I could be the person I am today. I appreciate my husband and my kids and how they've shaped who I am as a wife and a mother. I think they've helped me grow to be a better person today than I was before I got married and had kids. And I just praise and thank God for the journey that he has taken me through. There's nothing I would probably change in this journey, even though it wasn't easy. But I just love being a mother and being a wife. I think it's the best blessing I've been given by God to raise two amazing kids. They have shown me amazing and important role it is to be a mother, and how the mother can raise a great community that we aspire to have. And so that role I take seriously, and I praise all the mothers out there who has gone through a lot of transition in their lives and came out of the other side a better person. And so it's just been an amazing journey. Yeah.
What would you say is the biggest change in your life now as a wife and a mother as to when, I guess, it was just you? What's the biggest change that you've felt?
The biggest change that I felt, I think, in this transition is probably I'm more compassionate and better loving person to others than myself. I think before I had kids, I was more of, you know, it's all about me. My education, I needed to, you know, go to school, graduate, have these plans for my career. I've learned being a mother that it's not about me. It's about the people that I surround myself with, whether it's my immediate family or friends. And I think that sort of shifted less of me and more of people and caring for those people around.
Mm. I've recently become a mother as well. I have an 8-month-old and my life has completely changed. And you're right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, I've heard that a lot and I completely understand. Everything revolves around the baby now, and my life is secondary to support that. But what a beautiful change it has been. What role has faith played in guiding you, especially the moment that you chose baptism?
Wow, I think he plays a huge role in my life, whether I saw it back then or not. I went through a lot of spiritual growth and changes over time. But I think the journey that he has taken me through in the last 10 years of my life has been such a transformative journey. I've learned to understand who God is and the role that he plays, not just in my life, but in the lives of the people that I love and care for and the community that I work in. I think he has done so much for me and my family that I feel the need to share that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and believing in him and trusting in him helps us to be a better people, better community. And we would, I believe and trust that we would solve half of or all of the world's problems by strengthening our faith and believing in him as the creator who loves us so much. And so he definitely everything about my life. He is the king of not just my life, but everybody's life and in the universe. So, yes.
Do you feel like by having him, it makes you a stronger person?
Oh, yes. I think if I did not have my faith today, I would be a very different person. I am so much stronger because I find strength in him, and he has taken me through so many challenges in my life and has taken me out of it stronger and stronger every single time. And so definitely, yes.
Mm. Where do you draw strength from when life feels uncertain?
Jesus Christ. And I go to the Bible to read and really understand where this journey is, where I am in this point of my life, just to get guidance and clarity. But yeah, I think Jesus Christ is my immediate go-to for sure every single day. Of course, we're human, so we're going to fall short. And sometimes we forget and think that, you know, I can do this on my own and forget to pray and forget to surrender. But he always is faithful, and he always kind of tap you on the shoulder and just reminds you, I'm here if you're ready for me. And that's what I love about him.
You're listening to Stories from the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'm Bobby McCumber, and I'm speaking with Yvonne Weather. Your journey through education and career hasn't been straightforward. How have you carried those experiences with you?
Oh, wow. For the longest time, I think I carried a lot of shame and disappointment because I had so much aspiration and goals education-wise. And because of the circumstances in my life, I made choices and didn't really necessarily do the things that I wanted to do. So I carried a lot of that for the longest time. And I think it's just recently, I would like to say maybe three years ago, if I'm not mistaken, I was given an opportunity to be coached by this amazing lady. She lives in Singapore. And it was an opportunity that the organization, the Nature Conservancy, offered for us. It was a free 4-session of coaching. And I thought it was a career coaching. And so that was sort of my main intention to get into the program. But little did I know, she was a life coach. And she helped me get into terms of what's harboring, and that caused a lot of this shame. And she helped me kind of get into terms with those things and helped me to really be okay with the choices that I've made, and help me kind of have confidence moving forward. And so in the last, I would say 3 years, I've really accepted the challenges that I've had in this journey for my education, and understand that there was a purpose and a reason why I wasn't given those opportunities. And just accepted, because regardless whether I had my degree that I wanted or the career that I was aspiring for, I think what I have today is what I love. It has brought me so much joy, especially the work that I do with the Nature Conservancy and with the communities that I work in. Yeah.
What does it mean to reframe what others might call failures into the building blocks of strength?
I guess for me, I didn't connect my faith to my career and my journey. And I think it was just because of the organization at the beginning kind of not made, but was making sure that these things are separate. So I wasn't really comfortable in the workplace talking about my faith until quite 5 years ago, when a lot of that change came into the organization internally. Through this coaching, I've learned that, you know, the reason for those sort of called failures were not really failures. There were opportunities that were being open for me. So even though I wasn't accepted, or my scholarship didn't work out, my applications didn't go through, the reason for that was I was supposed to be, the opportunity that I was given today was, I guess, the will of God that I was meant to live, instead of the career that I thought I wanted to have. And so I've learned to kind of see that was not a failure, but just God saying that there's better opportunities that I have for you.
You've written beautifully about the other old Matt. How does that metaphor explain your own journey?
Oh, I think it just depicts my whole journey of transformation over time. And it's just encouraging to see how far I've come despite all the challenges and the potential of what the future have for me for the time that I have here.
Can you just explain for our listeners that metaphor and how you explain that journey?
So to understand at all, woven mat is to understand a journey of purpose, patience, and partnership woven into every fiber. Every pull and twist at the weavers tightens the weave. The distinct, crisp sound, mga sabak, can be heard. This is more than just noise. It is a voice of the mat itself. It is the sound of assurance, confirmation to the weaver that her effort is secured, that the connection is strong, and that the foundation she is building will hold. Every and all is a chronicle of living creation. It teaches us that we must be prepared for our purpose, that our strength comes not just from the standing foundation, Ongar, a bond, Omawitla, but from the courage to adapt, revisit, and continuously strengthen ourselves individually and as a community through the cycle of our work. The sound of our unity, the mga sabak, is the greatest assurance that what we build together is not just secure, but it is alive and made to last.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. When you look back, do you see each twist and turn as part of the weave that made you who you are today?
Oh, yes. Those twists and turns have been the challenges that I've gone through life over so many challenges that we've gone through as a family and as an individual person. So it's been quite a journey.
At the Nature Conservancy, you spend your days connecting with communities. What does that work give back to you?
I think connecting to the people and to my community is what I'm getting from it. My 12 years with the government in foreign affairs, I thought I knew Palau and I thought I knew my country until I transitioned into this role with the Nature Conservancy. I've learned so much about my country and my people, and I have so much appreciation now than I had before.
Can you recall a moment with people in a village or on the land that has stayed with you?
Oh, yes. So when I started with the Nature Conservancy, I was the working on fisheries, community-based fisheries management. So a lot of the community members that I was working with was largely men. And being a Palawan woman, fishing is a domain that it's dominated by men. And so getting into the community and talking to men about fisheries and being a woman is quite a challenge. So it took me time to build my partnership and relationship with these local fishermen. And over the years, we successfully did our activities and I supported a lot of their work and built the project that I had at the time. It's called Choose Pelagics and promoting pelagic fisheries and helping reduce its effort on reef fishing. And then over the years, when I transitioned my role within the Nature Conservancy, I started working with community of women fishers. And the first time I've called the meeting and organized the meeting and met with this woman, it became very obvious to me that, you know, women are the change makers in these communities. They showed up prepared. They showed up with purpose. They were ready to do the work. And I think I've grown that community. Now I'm working with a little over 40 local woman fishers from four states across Palau. We've gone through our membership, my list, with I think we've gone over 100 women that have come through the group and gone, and that's fine. But what stayed with me with these women is just the love that they have for their community, and they want to make a difference, and they're ready to make that difference. And so it hasn't been a struggle getting them to do anything, it's always exciting because they're just ready. And my role is made easier because now I'm just bringing in the support that they need to be able to do the work that they feel is important to their community. So it's been amazing working with these women group.
Mm. What is it like to bring people together to help them see their purpose and power?
I think it's just amazing bringing people together. And I feel that's something that I can comfortably say that I am good at, bringing people together. And it's just amazing to see the power of community when they recognize that they need each other. They can do so many things that they envision to do in their community. And so that's been just amazing to see. I don't do a lot. All I do is just call a meeting and bring everybody into a meeting, and the rest is really up to them. And the results so far has been just amazing to see.
How has this work deepened your love for Palau and its people?
I think learning about my environment and a lot of the changes and impact that we've seen over time. And, you know, when I was with Foreign Affairs, I traveled a lot. And with the Nature Conservancy, I've had opportunity as well to travel. So I've seen so many places, but still Palau, and of course I'm Palauan, so I'm going to say this, Palau is one of the best places that I've ever seen, and it's still beautiful and it's still intact. And so seeing that and seeing the impact that the other places that I've visited has gone through makes me really want to continue the work that the Nature Conservancy and other organizations here in Palau are doing and trying to protect and conserve what we have so that our future generation can have the opportunity to experience what we're experiencing today.
Mm-hmm. Why do you place so much importance on working with young people?
Because I believe over the 10 years that I've been with the Nature Conservancy, it's very obvious that the future is dependent on having a generation that is ready and understand their environment and what the environment and how important the environment is to them. Because we adults have built our habits and our way of thinking mindsets. It's hard to change, but the future generation, they're still young, they're still open to learning and being the change themselves. And so I feel it's important to work and continue to strengthen our efforts, building the capacity of our younger people to be the future, to be the change in our communities.
If one day your children or the youth you mentor were to describe your legacy, what would you want them to say?
Oh, wow. You know, that's the hardest question to ask an islander. I hope, if anything, I think if they can just share my faith and how that faith has contributed to how I work with people and the environment, I think would be the best thing to say about myself.
When you imagine yourself on a farm in the future, what picture comes to mind?
Oh, I'm picturing myself standing at the top of the hill in my farm, and I see little huts of retreats where I could offer people from Palau or outside of Palau who just wants to find themselves and find peace to just come and experience the peace that I feel when I'm in my farm. That's what I want to see and feel.
Wonderful. Yvonne, thank you so much for joining me from Palau and for sharing how the soil, the sea and your faith have all grounded your journey, especially you speaking about the other oil map. Your story reminds us that resilience is woven from patience, from community and from the courage to begin again. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Yvonne Weather, Country Director of the Nature Conservancy Palau, community leader and farmer. You've been listening to Stories from the Pacific. I'm Bobby McCumber. To hear more stories about unique, incredible people from the Pacific, just search for Stories from the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. If you or someone you know has an interesting story to share, you can email us at storiesfromthepacific@abc.net.au. This story was produced on the lands of the Yuggera and Turrbal people. I'm hosting this story on the lands of the Kaurna people.